From WNYC Studios, this is The Sporkful, bonus mini calls show edition. I'm Dan Pashman, and yeah, I think I'm going to stick with that name for the time being, at least. I mean, this is a bonus. It is a mini. It is a calls show, so the name is apt. All right, it's apt. Before we get to the phones, though, I do just want to say, it has been a really intense and emotional time here in the US of A with the election. It's been a very intense and emotional week, I know. And we're going to continue to have conversations about race and culture and food here on The Sporkful going forward. But not today. In the short term, we are going to attempt to provide a little bit of escape. By the way, if you're feeling sad about the election results, I recommend donuts. If you're feeling happy about the election results, I recommend donuts. See? Common ground. Anyway, next week on the show, we're going to have my interview with Food Network star Alton Brown, which has basically been something you've been asking for the past 7 years. We finally made it happen. That's next week. But right now, it's time to go to the phones. Hi, who's this?
Hi, this is Diane. I'm from Dallas, and I have a story for you about eating with in-laws.
Okay, let's hear it, Diane.
When my husband and I were first married, this was a long time ago, this was about 30 years ago, we adopted a cat. We were new cat owners, and neither one of us had ever had one before, so the animal who became known as the most loved cat in Dallas was also horrendously spoiled. He was not only spoiled, he was omnivorous, and he would eat anything you left out. Onions, pretzels, cupcakes, potato chips.
What was the cat's name, the actual name?
His name is Cloudy.
Cloudy, okay. All right. So Cloudy loved to eat.
So when my mother-in-law asked us to bring Cloudy to her home for Thanksgiving, I talked to her beforehand because she liked to leave little snacks out, and told her, we can bring him, but never mind the wisdom of driving a cat in the car 450 miles, but you can't leave anything out because he'll eat it. And she said, well, okay. So we took the cat up, and when we got there, everything was great, and the cat and my mother-in-law loved each other. They're getting along like old friends. And then the day before Thanksgiving, the trouble started. She wanted to run to the grocery to pick some things up, and she had already baked pie that day. She had an apple pie and a pumpkin pie sitting out on the counter. I reminded her that the cat had the run of the house and that she had pie on the counter. Well, that was not a problem because cats don't eat pie. And I had to differ with her on that because, you know, a cat who will eat cinnamon rolls will probably eat pie.
And potato chips.
But she said no. She knew cats. She had had cats before. I was a new cat owner and did not understand cats, and cats didn't eat pie. We went back and forth like this for quite a while.
Did you cite Garfield as evidence?
Oh, yeah, I wish I had, because, you know, I'm sure Cloudy would have eaten lasagna, too, if
that's
it had
right.
been left out. So we went back and forth for a while. Voices became raised. Tempers got a little heated. And
really?
She was so mad at me. You've never had a cat before. I'm a farm girl. I know cats. The cat won't eat the damn pie. So I finally gave in, and I said, okay. And off we went. 2 hours later, we returned to the house, and little Cloudy is laying in the middle of the floor in a food stupor with his stomach huge and bloated. And there was a center eaten out of each pie of about 3 or 4 inches of diameter. And I have to tell you that the holes that were eaten were very precise. He obviously didn't care for the crust as you got closer to the edge, because he just ate a very round hole right out of the middle of each one.
He's a filling cat, not a crust cat.
He prefers the filling. Okay. Yeah.
You walk in the door, you find Cloudy essentially passed out on the floor, and half the pies are eaten. What happens?
My mother-in-law was furious. She was furious with me, and she was furious with Cloudy.
Did you say, I told you so?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I wasn't going to let an opportunity to say that get passed up.
And what did your mother-in-law say? Did she acknowledge, like, yeah, I was wrong, you were right?
No. No, because that's just not what she did.
So what does she say?
She says the cat has to go down to the basement. He was basically banished.
And was your husband there this whole time?
My husband was there. He elected not to get involved and disappeared.
Typical.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too.
But when you were arguing with your mother-in-law before you went out, did he take a side? Did he say, hey, Mom, seriously, Cloudy's going to eat the pie?
No, he really stayed out of the whole thing. I think he saw what was coming.
He was like, I got to go out to the garage and fix a thing, right?
Yeah, anything.
Yeah.
Other than get involved with this.
So Cloudy gets banished to the basement, and then what happens?
To the basement. Well, my husband and I had to run out and see some friends, so we did. And evidently Cloudy escaped the basement and got back up into the house, where my mother-in-law found him running around and the woman was at the end of her rope, really. He'd eaten her Thanksgiving dessert, and he was running around the house unchecked. And she put him, whether by accident or on purpose, we don't know to this day, but he ended up in a closet without food or litter or water. And it wasn't for a very long time because we were just gone for a few hours. But when we got back, Cloudy was as angry as my mother-in-law, and he obviously blamed her for his confinement.
Mm.
So war was on.
This is what you call a cat fight.
This is a huge cat fight. I wish I thought of that.
So war was on. What was the evidence from Cloudy's actions? How could you tell that Cloudy had declared war?
Actually, he escaped during Thanksgiving dinner and went to my mother-in-law's handbag, which was sitting by their couch. And I'm afraid to say that he peed on it. And he not only peed on it, he sat next to the handbag, staring at us with this really hard, accusing look. There was no doubt as to who did it and that it was a declaration of war.
What did your mother-in-law do when she discovered her pee purse?
Actually, my husband and I discovered it first, and we were horrified, and we took her bag and we emptied everything out of it and we tried to clean it up, but this is a pervasive odor, and we were hoping kind of she just wouldn't notice.
And did she notice? And
she didn't say anything at the time. 15 or 16 years later, after Cloudy had passed on of a ripe old age, we called my mother-in-law to tell her, and she said, well, I'm sorry for you guys because you loved him, but do you know he peed on my purse?
Did you ever bring Cloudy to your mother-in-law's again?
Oh, no. Oh, no. And I have to tell you that the invitation was never extended again.
So when your mother-in-law would come to visit you, how did she get along with Cloudy then?
I would say they had a tense relationship.
Have you gotten another cat since Cloudy?
We have had many since Cloudy. We share our home now with four.
And did Cloudy or any of your other cats ever eat something you cooked?
Yes, actually, quite often. Cloudy's sister did attack a Thanksgiving turkey one year.
And how did that make you feel?
Well, I thought it was hilarious. And I have to say that we just, all we did really was go ahead and cut the turkey up and serve it to the guests. What they didn't know didn't hurt them.
Here I was, Diane, trying to build to this point where you were going to say, yes, it was very upsetting for me to work so hard on a turkey and have my cat eat it. And I was going to say, and see, now don't you understand how your mother-in-law felt? But really what you're telling me is that your mother-in-law should have just served the half-eaten pie.
She should have, because, you know, just putting a little bit of whipped cream or something on the end of that, nobody would have noticed.
All right. Well, Diane in Dallas, thanks so much for the call.
Well, thank you.
Before I sign off, I need your help for an upcoming episode of The Sporkful. It is that time of year. We're starting to get ready for our year-end show in which I unveil my New Year's food resolution. And I want to hear your New Year's food resolution. What food do you resolve to eat more of in the new year? Use your cell phone to record a voice memo with the answer. And here's what you got to do, okay? You want to say your name. First name's fine if you prefer. Say where you're from, that's important, and then answer that question. What food do you resolve to eat more of in the new year, and why? Record the voice memo and email it to me, dan@sporkful.com. And you can hear yourself on The Sporkful. This show is a production of WNYC Studios and The Sporkful. It's produced by Ann Sani, Shoshana Gold, and me. Editing help from Dan Charles. Music help from Black Label Music. Special thanks to Paula Schumann. Until next time, I'm Dan Pashman.
And this is Max, age 10, from Austin, Texas, reminding you to eat more, eat better, and eat more better.